This episode of the Press Row Podcast is brought to you by Out of the Park Baseball 17. Right now, the number one PC game on Metacritic as far as rating. Not the number one sports game, the number one game, period. As of May 1st, a Metacritic rating of 93 on the PC. And that's because, well, let's face it, Out of the Park 17 is the best baseball strategy game ever made. It lets you run every aspect of your club from either the front office and or in the dugout. It's fully licensed by Major League Baseball and the MLBPA, which means you've got all the authentic 2016 opening day rosters, plus all the real minor league guys. Plus, you've got every season ever from 1871 through 2015 with the Major League and the minor league teams. It's amazing. You can build your own custom baseball worlds. You can play solo. You can play in online leagues. There's so much that you can do with Out of the Park Baseball 17. You can get it today for $39.99 on the Mac, on the PC, on Linux. You can get it through Steam, or you can get it directly from ootpdevelopments.com. And if you use the code PRESS17, P-R-E-S-S-1-7, you will get an additional 10% off. So that is Out of the Park Baseball 17.
Well, it's that time of the year, just a few weeks until E3 and for the first time EA Play, and that means the flow of announcements and info on the next Madden is underway. Welcome to the Press Row Podcast presented by Hit the Pass. I'm your host, Brian Weedye, Pasta Padre, and with me for this episode to talk about the first news on Madden are Rich Grisham from Out of the Park Developments and Kat Bailey from US Gamer. Rich, how you been? What have you been up to? What have you been playing lately?
Fantastic. You know, I have the rotation of Pro Evo and MLB The Show on console. And I'm, of course, I'm always dabbling. I got something cooking and Out of the Park on my Mac. But I've recently, I picked up this week the NASCAR expansion for Forza 6. And I've not played it extensively, but I have played it for, I think, four of the events in the first sort of main competition. There's like four or five, you know, different series in the NASCAR expansion. So I'm a big Forza fan overall, not just Forza 6, which I love, not just Forza Horizon, that series, which I love, but you know, all of them. And so I was very excited. I had played Forza 6 for a while regularly, and then I haven't lately in the last few months. So I was excited when this came out. And with all that said, I'm not loving it. I'm not disliking it. I'm not loving it. I think for whatever reason, because it's the NASCAR license, I was expecting the format to be a little different. It follows the same format and approach that Forza 6 does. Is, you know, there's not like a series of races with leaderboards, you know, and winners and that you're chasing over the course of a season. And that's how NASCAR is done. Mm-hmm. And so, again, well, I'm you know, only maybe 15 to 20% through. But it's just, it's interesting. It's not grabbing. I'm going to keep on playing it, though, because it is a great racing game. I'm just not quite as into it. I'm just not quite as into it as I thought I would be at this point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, NASCAR is interesting. It's been a long time since there's really been perceived to be a really good NASCAR game. And the thought of it there combined with Forza is kind of exciting because...
Has there ever been a good NASCAR game?
Yeah, well, it's interesting you
absolutely.
Say that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes. Right,
well, like what?
Dirt to Daytona is one of my favorite racing games of time.
And this
I didn't mean that disparagingly, by the way. No, I was just like...
This is pertinent because just announced... Literally the day we're recording this podcast.
Yeah.
So it's been a few days before, but Monster Games, who created that one back in, I think it was 2002, as well as NASCAR Heat in 2000/2001, they're back on NASCAR. And so they're back with NASCAR Heat Evolution, which comes out in September because we didn't already have enough games coming out in September, Rich.
I love the last line of your article about that. It was great how you said that. I mean, really, wow, what a choice to release a game in the most packed part of the calendar. But, you know, who knows? I'm sure a lot of reasons behind that.
Well, as we all know, there's a lot of crossover between Final Fantasy 15 fans and NASCAR fans.
Well, we've got one of them right here, right? So
I'm not a NASCAR fan.
I know.
Sorry, NASCAR fans.
It's a tough game to translate to a video game, I think, in a compelling fashion. So it's a tough sport to do that for. So we'll see how that turns out. But Kat, welcome back to the show. What's been taking up your time the last few weeks?
I fired up Madden for the first time in a little while just recently because I noticed that Laquan Treadwell was available through Madden Ultimate Team. Mm-hmm. And I thought that there was a 91 overall version out there somewhere, but either they're not out or they just weren't in the auction house. I could only find the pure rookie version.
Yeah, there should be. You're right. It's probably just not any available in the auction house, because when I went through, I profiled every single one of those players, because it's the entire first round and probably like 75% of the second round, and then a few mixed in from the third and fourth round. And every single one had a base card and a future card that's based on what potentially they could be, you know, at the peak of their career.
I just wanted to see if Laquan Treadwell, I just wanted to have Treadwell as like one of my receivers because my main goal of Ultimate Team was to have an all Vikings all-star team. But unfortunately, the Vikings receivers aren't very good. So outside of Stephon Diggs, I didn't really have anybody. I mean, I was running with Amari Cooper, the one that you unlock in the second season, and Demaryius Thomas and Brandon Marshall and T.Y. Hilton. So I was like, so I wanted to get Treadwell, but the one that I wanted wasn't available. So yeah. I decided to keep my powder dry. I also fired up FIFA for the first time. Because when Leicester City was winning, I was kind of inspired to go and play some FIFA. And I was trying out the Operation Sports Sliders, actually, because I wasn't a huge fan. There are some people who swear by the gameplay this year, but I was pretty disappointed by the AI in particular.
I'm with you on that.
It's just not a lot of fun to play against. Doesn't make enough mistakes, that kind of thing. So I went and visited the sliders on Operation Sports, and they're like, yeah, put it on world class and go with these sliders, and the AI will be smart, but they will make enough mistakes to be interesting. So I decided to give that a try and ended up getting rolled 3-0, but whatever. I still, it felt very different. I'll say that.
Refused to play Pro Evo, Kat. You just steadfastly refuse.
It's not that I hate Pro Evo or anything. it's a lot of fun. I'm just a very shallow person, and I need my licenses, and I'm not going to go through the trouble of modding Pro Evo. But I have all of the respect in the world for Pro Evo. I'm going to be seeing at E3 this year, so I know that it is what it is. I really respect the game that they put out every single year. But as far as, I don't know, fulfilling my football dreams as a soccer fan, I go to FIFA. So,
yeah, I'm going to go. I was about to last night, but I didn't. But, I'm 2.5 seasons in on my Everton campaign in Pro Evo. And it really does wear on you, so to speak, with not having the stadiums and all the right kits and all the right clubs. And I want to sort of see if I can pull off in FIFA what I pulled off in Pro Evo, which is over the course of a couple of years, remaking the club and winning the Premier League. I'm going to go back to FIFA and do that, because I really want to, keep playing soccer, but yeah, I want to get back into that licensed world. There's really something to be said for going to the real places, especially.
I suppose on that note, I should mention that we were actually wrong last podcast. We were confused as to why you dropped down into the Europa League out of the Champions League, I think it was.
Yep.
And as it turns out, if you lose in the Champions League group stage, you come in third, you will drop down into the Europa League, which we don't know because we don't support Champions League clubs. So
that is accurate.
Why would we know that? But I just wanted to throw that one out there.
All right. Well, let's get on to it then with Madden NFL 17, because we got a ton of information from the vague to the very specific already. And included in the mix there, you've got mention of a renewed focus on franchise mode. You got new special moves and assists for ball carriers, a new defensive AI system, and some long overdue work to special teams. Kat, out of everything you've learned of so far, what's the one thing that's really gotten your attention that you're anticipating the most?
Anticipating the most?
Or excited about, or whatever.
I don't know if the word anticipating is quite right, but tackle battles really got my attention.
Oh.
Just because I'm honestly curious to see how broken it's going to end up being.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to sound like really snide or whatever toward the Madden team. I know that they're going to do a really good try to do their best to balance it out. And I know that they like the game. They have the Game Changer program going in there. If you're not familiar with the Game Changer program, they bring in fans who are like really prominent in the community, and kind of they serve as the kind of official ambassadors, and they play the game like a lot, like ridiculous amounts, and then offer tuning advice basically. I actually went and profiled the Game Changer program for NHL last year. And I think that program is actually bearing fruit in a lot of ways. But as we all know, like Madden 16 was actually really good in a lot of ways, but they never quite got the balance of the deep pass stuff. It always felt a little too much of a toss up, and I don't know if it's anything they can fix. But especially at the outset, it felt a tiny bit broken. So when you look at tackle battles, which is you have a running back and they're running along, and if they somebody like say a cornerback tries to tackle them, you will have a prompt like a QuickTime event flash up on the screen, and whoever presses it first will win. So if the defensive player gets it first, the running back will go down. If the running back person gets it, then the cornerback will go down. And so it's just like, okay, well, I look forward to Adrian Peterson like rushing for 2,500 yards a game or whatever.
Well, and this is really what has dominated the discussion, a lot of the discussion around the community, is this tackle battle thing. And the biggest reason why is because it's not optional. A lot of the stuff they're doing this year as far as assists and things of that nature, optional. Turn them on and off, and you see that in a lot of sports games, where they'll add things in, but they will still give people the option to turn them off. You can't do it with this one, which is kind of, it's really, you know, I didn't want to overshadow all the good by hitting on tackle battles first, but you brought it up, Kat.
Well, I mean, it's the elephant in the room. Yeah. Might as well talk about it. I will say that I am actually really intrigued by the way that they're redoing the running controls, because if I'm being perfectly honest, I was never really good with my stick skills in Madden. So like that was always kind of my weakness, was the running game in particular, like doing the jukes and stuff. Like I could do the little double move that was kind of OP in Madden 16 and stuff like that. But like the timing, I never really had down on, especially on like stiff arms and stuff. And that was with like one of the best running backs in the game. But the thing that kind of strikes me, I don't recall the exact details, but the first thing I went back to in my mind was, correct me if I'm wrong, a couple of years back, maybe it was Madden 25, did they have like a precision button? Where they would do a precision move?
You combine it with the move to make it super...
super powered?
Yeah.
And it was pretty OP, and they didn't bring it back the next year.
I think it's actually still there. I just...
They toned it down a lot.
Right. And I've never bothered to use it, because I've always been more conservative in how I play. I'm not going to... Because I remember facing off against TJ in games where he would do that, and he'd try to hurdle, a precision hurdle, and I hit him in midair, and he'd like flip and fumble. I'm like, I don't want to risk those type of things happening to me. So I always just avoided that, and I'm more of a straightforward truck stick, just take what I can get type of runner.
Yeah, it sounds like they kind of took that concept and reformulated it a little bit and put it back into Madden 17. I'm really glad that they're addressing the running game. So I'm just honestly curious to see what comes out of it. I'm probably going to get a chance to play Madden 17 for the first time at E3, and I will have a full report when I have my when I get a chance to play it.
All right, Rich, what to you out of all this jumped out at you?
Well, to me, as always, it's about franchise. I love franchise mode. I love online franchise mode. I love our Press Row podcast league. That's how I experience Madden. Some people play Ultimate Team. Some people play their own franchise offline. I play Madden exclusively online franchise. So just the fact that it remains a thing and is getting some love, not that I think it's particularly broken. I think there's plenty of stuff that, and Kat has done a great job of describing, you know, like ways how the owner mode is not particularly compelling, for example. So there's always cool stuff that they can do. And I'm interested to see what that is, whether it makes it just easier to manage a league or navigate, or whether it's actually something that provides additional, compelling value, whether it's emotionally or just mechanically in the franchise mode. So I'm glad that that's getting some love. What I'm least excited about, I was hoping to see that penalties would be eliminated, because as everybody knows, they're terrible in Madden and they're no fun. To have holding calls on a 2nd and 9 where you get 12 yards for a key first down.
We're
not
really going to do this again, Rich.
Is there a penalty slider?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. I guess I never really noticed. Like, I guess the penalties didn't really do... I don't recall ever being by a penalty.
At one point, right?
I do remember giving up a pass interference call, but it was pretty obvious that my guy was like kind of manhandling them, and so I was like, well, I kind of deserve that, but also that sucks. But I mean, that's football, so I guess I lost
an NFC championship in our league due in part to
was that against me?
Penalty. Yeah, I think it was. Remember, yeah. I was getting in field goal range, I believe.
Yeah,
and I completed a first down, and they called it back for something.
I'm sure it was holding, because that's all they ever call. They call holding.
Yeah, okay,
at least twice a game.
I wasn't upset about it, because I still had an opportunity to overcome that, and overcoming challenges is what these games are all about. Now, Rich, you see that as just getting screwed over. Like, it's random, and in some cases,
it's not random, because the player stats figure into the penalties. If they have less awareness, they will commit more penalties. TJ Clemmings, who was my rookie right tackle, like, he committed so many freaking penalties. Mm-hmm. And you know what? He did that in real life, too. Yeah. So,
well, even in real games, you could argue that penalties are random with when they're called. When,
sure feels like it, doesn't
refs,
it?
Yeah, refs making.
Oh, I'm not disputing.
Calls.
Yeah, I'm not disputing the sim nature of it. I'm just saying it's not fun. That's all.
I just don't get it, Rich, because you have essentially the same things happen in other sports games, and they affect the way games go. You have
no, you don't.
You what about offsides in the soccer games?
That's completely different. It's not a random occurrence. You have a guy who is clearly
your CPU teammate
over the line.
Right, yeah. But that's your CPU teammate randomly being out of position.
Okay, it's a fair point. I personally don't compare that to a random twice a game holding penalty in Madden, you know. But to me, and people say fouls in NBA.
You should always institute a house rule. You just say, yeah, if there's a penalty, you decline it.
Sure, you could do that. Or you can turn them off if you're going to play that way.
I think what Rich is getting at is that he wants Madden to be a game that is determined by the player's skill and not by kind of the RNG of having a penalty. But maybe it is a little apples to oranges to say, well, I mean, it's in the real game, so it should probably be in this game too. Because in the real game, you know, you can teach a player to commit fewer penalties. Mm-hmm. In this game, it's a roll of the dice. Sure. And to be screwed over by a penalty after a really spectacular play is just a terrible feeling in a video game. So in that regard, I can understand where Rich is coming from.
Yeah, I guess to me, it's just Madden has been, for so long, it was, you know, 1st and 10, You were, unless you got sacked, you were never in second and long, third and long situations. So that's why you always had these offensive heavy years where it was just offense. You'd never punt. Everybody goes for it on fourth down because usually when you're in fourth down situations, you are in short yardage situations, and then people just figure they're going to go for it because it's easy enough to convert in Madden. So it just added that extra challenge that you had to overcome, and to me that was rewarding when you actually did, and when you didn't, you know, like Rich just upset them for some reason. That's okay. That's okay. We will differ on this one forever, for eternity, Rich.
It is true. That is a true statement.
All right, so Kat touched on some of the offensive stuff already. I'm going to recap a little bit what's coming to offense so far. There's probably plenty more than just this, but this is generally just related to the run game and ball carriers when receivers or tight ends have it also. So you're going to get the special moves that fit an individual's play style and their attributes. It's partially going to be based on their ratings, and fatigue can play a role in all of that. There's new fake-out animations, including ones that impact multiple defenders. There's new mechanics for executing the moves. On lower difficulty settings, there's assists and guides that will be turned on. Again, this is about accessibility, something that sports game developers are continually trying to address. And then there's also three different settings for all of this: auto, assist, and manual, for people to choose from depending on their skill level and the challenge they want. So, Rich, ball carriers, how do you feel about what they're implementing here?
I think I like it. I get the approach. I'm sure this is something that they have spent a lot of time thinking about and implementing and improving and getting feedback on. You know, not everything you try works. Like you guys were saying earlier about, you know, some of the moves that were introduced a couple, two, three Maddens ago. But some things do work and stick, and sometimes you want to take a good idea and make it better. So I'm certainly willing to give this the old college try. And, you know, we've seen such improvement in the game since the introduction of the PS4 and Xbox One generation. I mean, the game is, for all the various warts that you could point to, the game is really good and subtle and much more nuanced. So I'm excited to see. I think they probably have a pretty good idea of the right level of balance versus intimidation to people who aren't the most dedicated Madden players.
Yeah. One thing that I'm pretty excited about that I think has flown a little bit under the radar is, by all accounts, the offensive line AI is going to be even smarter this year. Mm-hmm. And actually, it's actually been pretty good this like generation. Like,
oh yeah,
it's certainly been a massive leap up from the previous generation, mostly because the systems are more powerful, so they can do more calculations, et cetera.
Well, I also think it bears, you know, Clint Oldenburg has been leading that, and I think it bears saying that name. I think he's had a lot to do with that.
Yes. The thing that I like to hear, apparently, from the game changers is that the offensive line is doing a much better job of covering the gaps. So what's going to happen now is that offensive linemen are going to be plugging the gaps, but what's going to happen is the defensive line is going to compensate by overloading certain portions of the line and doing stunts, just generally playing mind games with the offense. And I think that could actually be pretty interesting if you're like calling, you're already kind of calling protections, being like, oh, they're definitely coming from this side, so I want to kind of go from over here.
Send the
blocking on this side, et cetera. So I'm pretty interested to see how the offensive line and defensive line play comes out this year.
Yeah. I love a good offensive line. Like, if I ran a real an NFL football team, I would focus all of my resources on
offensive
line.
Rich, you did. We did that Madden draft at the start of Madden 16, where we drafted for our ideal kind of teams, and just to see where everyone valued certain types of players, certain positions, and all of that. And Rich, like, four of your first five picks were offensive line, and you got made fun of for that, Rich.
Well, that's fine, but the best teams in football always have the best offensive
line.
No,
that's not true.
Almost always, Brian. Anybody can point out
that's the Seahawks. They don't have a great offensive line.
Yeah. Occasional anomaly.
They've never really had a great defensive line either.
Guess who had poor offensive lines last year? The Broncos didn't have a good offensive line.
But they had a murder defensive line.
Oh, absolutely.
There are plenty of examples, many, many, many examples of great Super Bowl winning teams that had great offensive lines. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so I love being rewarded. Like even in the press row league that we continue, my offensive line, I have invested significantly. Probably three of my five or six top rated players are the offensive line, and I'm rewarded for it because I have great running lanes and great pass blocking on a regular basis. And I don't have the best skilled players, but having a good offensive line gives those less skilled players more opportunities to be good.
Yeah, I think
as in the real life, like a half second can be the difference between
mm-hmm.
a 20-yard gain and getting sacked for like a 25-yard loss.
Yeah, I think the issue has been in Madden for many years, and it's improved like you mentioned in recent years, is that great offensive linemen really didn't differentiate themselves very much from mediocre offensive linemen. And so that's why most of us in that draft waited on offensive line until we got some skill positions and dynamic type players, and then filled in the offensive line later because there wasn't enough of an impact from the offensive line. Now,
right. You could get away with like 80 something overall. Yeah. Offensive line guys across the board, which I have in Madden for years.
Yeah, and so I think what's going to happen, especially this year, because of what they're doing with defense, is that really good offensive lines, like you say, Rich, they're going to matter more than ever. Because here's some of the stuff they're doing on defense. They've keyed in on three terms, basically, alignments, assignments, and techniques, and defenses are going to flip when the offense does, although that's another thing you can turn off if you want. There's individual gap assignments. The AI is going to adjust on the fly their gap assignments after the snap, depending on their play recognition rating, which is another, I think, a great way to enhance what play recognition means in Madden. There are new run fit techniques, including, and this is important against Rich, at least 2 years ago, force defenders who can try and force the ball carrier inside because Rich ran outside with LeSean McCoy every time, right, Rich?
And now I run inside with what's his face who already got traded away,
Murray.
Yeah. Yes, that guy, DeMarco.
Yeah. So in that case, you would want cutback defenders who tried to stretch the play wide, and that's another. There's several different type of defenders or ways you can assign them now, and like you said, Kat, to balance things out, they've worked a lot on offensive line. So as far as defense goes, Rich, what interests you here?
Well, there's a lot of very, you know, I mean, it's the wrong term, right? But there's a lot of inside baseball going on here. This is pretty serious football jargon and technique that I would venture to say that a majority of football players don't even understand or football fans don't understand. Right. I certainly don't understand it. You ask me to explain what these gap things mean. I'm like, I couldn't do it. Now, I recognize, obviously, that you know, the offensive line, defensive line adjustments that are made between the time that the play is called and when the ball is snapped as the quarterback, you know, obsesses the situation and the defense is looking, reacting. Like, there's so much that happens during that. It sounds like this is really what that is about. It's like adding a little bit more thought and gameplay to a section when many people, myself included, don't do a whole lot of the adjustments, you know, because you have to, you know, do you press up on the D-pad? That gives you a certain set of adjustments. Do you press left? Do you press down? Like, what, you know,
there's all sorts of combinations.
Yeah. And it's, I, again, not speaking for anybody but me, I avoid a lot of that, but I know a lot of people who do that every play. So anyway, long story short, this sounds like it could be a little bit better presented and put a little bit more strategy and thinking. My only concern is somebody who has made this mistake in the past. You know, sometimes when you guess the type of play it's going to be, like run right, run middle, or run left, or pass.
Oh, the commit?
If you commit badly, you know, it can be disastrous.
Yeah.
Almost like, you know, the Super Tecmo Bowl when, you know, one guy picked the run one defense and the other dude picked the long vertical pass, you know, and he's, oh, all right, I guess that's a touchdown.
Yeah.
I get concerned that, you know, if not used properly, so to speak, this could wind up being one of those situations where he could be put at a disadvantage. But, you know, we'll see.
I was going to say that, you know, that is really, this is the type of stuff that I like to see in May, right? Rather than gimmicky things or even.
Excellent point.
Yeah, because this is when. Who's paying attention to Madden stuff in May? It's the people who are, it's the hardcore fans. It's the people who are still playing Ultimate Team. It's people who are really passionate about Madden and passionate
right.
about football. So this is the kind of stuff I like to see right now. And the to me, what's important is how it blends into the game. Like you said, Rich, there's so much over top for people to consider doing, so many different controller combinations, and you have such a limited amount of time to make these decisions and then implement them. It's how is this going to fit in without people having to necessarily manually assign things? Because I go back to that play recognition rating being key. You know, if stuff like that, do you have the players who are going to be able to adjust? Do you have, you know, these things that they can, you put them in position to be successful, and then they go out and do it instead of having to change everything for every player on the field. Kat, your thoughts on defense?
I'm really interested to see how the zone mechanics come out because apparently they have 8 new zone concepts never before seen in Madden. Mm-hmm. And so zone has always been kind of a prickly thing for Madden. It's either really broken or really OP. And I think this year... Zone was pretty powerful. I feel like a lot of people, especially in our league, were using cover 3 drop out of quarters a lot.
Yeah, it's either that or man was underpowered, one of the two.
Man wasn't underpowered as much as...
It's easier to exploit man, I think.
It just felt like the receivers could shake loose pretty easily and then be really open.
I can ever hit are crossing patterns. That's what I can regularly hit. I have difficulty doing a whole lot other than those. I can't throw deep. Maybe that's just because my quarterback stinks, but like I don't ever throw
not
deep.
Not sure you have the type of receivers in Philly
that
for
too.
That anyway.
Good point.
Anyway, by the same token, like zone is all, like if zone's broken, it's kind of a crappy feeling. And then you feel like, oh, well, I have to do all these fancy adjustments and start dropping lots of players back into coverage and have to disguise this and do that to be able to even have a modicum of success on defense. So I'm interested to see what comes of their adjustments to zone coverage this year. One thing that I really like is that there's going to be a new UI element where if you're getting burned a bunch by one play, you will be able to find, like, the game will direct you to a pass coverage concept that will stop that one play.
Right.
In theory. And so I'm like, yes, Craig Kujawa, you have met your match.
Well, that is key because over the years, if there's one, the most frustrating thing to me about Madden has been when you're playing someone who's doing the same thing, you know what they're going to do, but you don't really have the tools to be able to stop it. So, you know,
well,
some years it was corner routes.
In the past years, it's like you literally had to cover it. You had to manually cover it because the game wasn't going to be able to stop it.
Yeah, I mean, that was like corner routes for a few years there where it was just, you know, you were screwed. So different route combinations and there were, or, you know, tosses 2 years ago to the outside. You don't have really the ability
to... throws to the flats.
Yeah, throws to the flats, sure. I mean, there's any
all
number
the
of them. Yeah, and what I found interesting was I watched some of the Madden Challenge when they broadcasted it this past year, and it was fascinating to me to see the strategies that were utilized and the, you know, what plays were run over and over, what type of defenses were run over and over. And it's because of that. It's because the people are able to find, you know, what is overpowered, what seems to work every time. and then your opponent doesn't have really an option to counter that. And so counters, that's always a key thing to me, and hopefully we're going to see that happen this year.
I just like that newer players or more casual players, like if they're getting, say, getting burned by a tight end up the seam all the time, mm-hmm. like now they kind of have a tool to be able to stop that so that they're not always getting spammed by that particular play. So, of course,
well, and that's
I will add, of course, that there will be people who do all kinds of crazy adjustments. Oh. And yeah. Then inevitably, if one passing pattern is being covered, they'll find another one because they have a concept that will beat every single type of coverage. So in that case, there might not be able to be anything you can do, but at least it'll stop them from going to that one person every time.
You would hope.
You would hope.
Yeah.
But at the same time, by putting in like a whole bunch of new zone concepts and improving the AI and hopefully balancing the zone and the man out a little more, that you can have those kind of mind games with the more advanced players where they are using the tools that the game is giving them in a more natural way rather than having to find ways to break it all the time. They'll still break it, but you know, we'll see. Yeah.
Almost everything we talk about in this episode is going to end up being adjusted in some way or another after release once people mess around with it. So I want to move on to kind of the third tier of football. And it's something I've been stressing for damn near a decade now. They're finally getting to it, and that's special teams. It's a huge part of football and often is the determining factor in games, but in Madden it's just been there. It's just been an afterthought, rarely touched. So what are they doing this year? We know there's a new, more challenging kick meter, which is necessary to match percentages seen in NFL games. I mean, last year we had a lot of missed extra points. I mean, we were at about, I think, 90% success rate. And some of those missed extra points actually affected the outcomes of games and the way teams had to strategize after they missed them. But in Madden, of course, nobody's missing a 33-yard extra point field goal. So they're going to give you the opportunity to ice kickers. There's a new block kick mechanic, and that's something that will hopefully still be rare, but it's at least possible. And for years, again, you have a play where one side of whoever's controlling the defense is just basically there to stand around. There's nothing for them to do on a kick. You're not going to block it. Now you at least have an opportunity. It's going to make those plays interesting and engaging. There's going to be a bunch of new trick plays. Hasn't been a mention of surprise onside kicks yet. I'll assume it just falls under that category. You'll also even get punts where the ball bounces backwards instead of just into the end zone like every time. So that's exciting too. Special teams, Kat, your thoughts?
All I know is that in the years, they've just never really captured what's important, like on kick coverages and that kind of thing.
Well, I'm not sure they're actually doing anything with
you've never been able to set an actual special teams depth chart, which is disappointing because, like, so look at real life. Like, on the Minnesota Vikings, we have this player named Adam Thielen, man. Like, he's like, I don't know, like a 50 overall receiver in the game. And, you know, he's okay in real life, but his main value is as a special teams guy. Like, he's a special teams ace. He is really great in that capacity. He can return the ball. He's just terrific at getting in there and wrapping up a returner before they can do a lot. Like, he can do pretty much all of it. And that one element has always been kind of lost in Madden. Like, it's just kind of this random thing that nobody really pays attention to. Like, it almost feels like these random players are in there. Mm-hmm. Like, I think I have like Adrian Peterson on my special teams. Like, Adrian Peterson's never going to be on special teams, right? But he's the highest rated or whatever. So yeah. I really wish that you could go and properly assign gunners and have a reason to have your full 53-man roster. Because as it is, like, a lot of the players who would ordinarily shine on special teams are just dead weight in a Madden roster.
Right, and that's why you don't have those difficult decisions when you're cutting in franchise, cutting your roster
exactly.
down to 53. That's another thing. And then you look at different philosophies for special teams across the league. Some teams, they just use their depth guys on special teams. Some teams like the Seahawks, Earl Thomas, Richard Sherman, Cam Chancellor, these guys play special teams. They're covering kicks. It's just different philosophies and how they prioritize. And then, of course, you know, you're potentially in Madden, you'd potentially be risking injury to those guys. Do you want to put them out there? But you should have incentive to.
The risk reward aspect is interesting, right?
Yeah. So that would give you, right, another interesting decision to make as far as, do you want to put your starters on special teams where they would excel maybe better than a backup? But right now, you don't care who's out there. Because they're all basically the same, and it's just depending on their speed rating or their block shedding rating, whatever it might be. And you're right, you don't see those special teams aces, the guys who make Pro Bowls for their special team skills, and they're just another guy in Madden.
Having a really good gunner right. on kick coverage can just be the difference.
Blow
up a kick, force a fumble at the goal line. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that goes unnoticed in real life.
Now, Rich, why do I get the sense you're not going to care about special teams?
Well, I have a friend whose name rhymes with Ryan Schmiedi, has really been on the issues around special teams for years in Madden. So really, I'm happy for that guy because this is for him. But in all seriousness, I don't feel the same way about special teams that I do perhaps about penalties. Special teams are key, and in Madden, they have been non-factors. Now, I usually blame it on the fact that I'm not good, but I never have kickoffs returned for touchdowns. Yeah. I never have punts returned for touchdowns. I never block a kick, and that's a literally never. I've never blocked a kick. Or had a kick.
I did it once by accident.
Really?
Yeah, no, it was crazy. I was like, oh my God, did I block a kick? Yeah. I think it happens once per Madden, maybe. Yeah.
Once per year, yeah.
And again, they don't happen a lot in the NFL, but they do happen
you see
and
them,
they change games.
Right. You see like one a weekend, which
yes,
is,
absolutely.
You know,
that's more.
A couple of years ago, the Vikings blocked two in a row against the Panthers when they were trying to punt. Well, like some teams make it a skill.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I'm good with this, and I'm also I sort of get why it's now, right? Like this is something I'm sure, Brian, that they have had on their list, on their radar, right? And because of things that they otherwise just they felt priorities to do, I'm sure.
Teams, Rich. Yeah,
just have a feeling
it doesn't sell copies, right? They're not going to put a kicker on the cover.
That's exactly right. But that's why it's almost kind of cool because you know this is something that they're just like, you know what? This is the year we're going to do it. We're gonna make this better. We're going to make it more interesting. And I think that's good. I think it's good for everybody.
Yeah. So that's what I'm most excited about. It's kind of hard to believe to say, man, special teams. I'm really looking forward to this Madden. But
yeah, but that's football, and we all love football. And
it can be a really like game changing and interesting and exciting aspect of a game, right?
Crushing.
games can be won and lost on special teams. I know this from personal experience. So, and you say that a team has won in all three phases of the game. So, I mean, yeah, they should be paying attention to special teams. It is actually exciting to see them giving it kind of the time of day.
Yeah, and I think it's important for Madden as far as its credibility or whatever you want to say as far as its place in the sports gaming genre, because you look at games like NBA 2K and MLB The Show, and there isn't an aspect of their actual gameplay that they just ignore, essentially, which is what Madden has done with special teams. And so once they get this area up, I mean, then you can start looking at Madden as potentially one of the best sports games out today. I want to hit on one more thing. We don't have specifics on franchise mode yet. I think we're going to be getting that within the next, by early June. But they did mention the renewed focus on franchise mode, which is important wording because a lot of people perceive Ultimate Team now is the focus. That's all they care about. Franchise mode, not very little has been done over the last few years to franchise mode. Now, it was already one of the best franchise modes out there and certainly the best online franchise mode, but you still want something that's going every year that's going to refresh your interest in it. So what are you hoping to find out about franchise mode when we do get that news, Kat?
What am I hoping? Well, okay, so Madden actually has somebody in charge of franchise, which is exciting. And I've talked to him at some length, and he seems to know what he's doing. At the same time, though, like last year certainly had some issues out of the gate in terms of player progression in particular was a problem. Like the nuts and bolts were a problem for sure. But to their credit, like they put out like a couple of really big patches and like put in the sliders that people wanted to kind of fix that stuff.
Yep.
So that tells me that they're kind of serious about how they approached franchise mode. As for actual concrete features, I think a lot of franchise modes like across the board tend to get lost in the nuts and bolts and say, well, now we have more realistic trade logic, and now we have we've added like a new way to manage the salary cap and that kind of thing. And mm-hmm. It's like, oh, that's nice. Good. I'm glad. But I think that they kind of missed the big picture, with maybe the exception of NBA 2K, which is to say that the narrative gets lost, unfortunately. You kind of have to create your own narrative. And all I really want out of Madden's franchise this year is some sense of persistence, some reason to keep playing after I win a Super Bowl. Because I can win. I can go and make a dynasty in Madden. Like, I can go and win. I can go 19-0 without any problem against all Madden. It's not a problem for me anymore. Like, the challenge is mostly gone. But that's fine. Like, I find playing Madden relaxing. So, okay, well, I want this feeling to be like, after I've won my second Super Bowl in a row without being defeated, I want to be a god. I want the announcers worshiping at my feet. I want the fans like being like, oh my god, like the greatest coach of all time. I want a trophy case full of trophies. I want people like kicking down my door for an autograph. Like, I want that persistence. Like, if I'm playing as a player, I want to feel the growth. I want to feel the fame. And I feel like that's something that NBA 2K has actually been a lot better at in its player mode, in particular than Madden. Madden's player mode is really, I want to say, sterile.
Oh, well, it hasn't been worked on, really, or changed.
No. And we've talked about how broken the owner mode is. And look, I'm not necessarily asking for wholesale changes here. But, you know, it would be nice to have a trophy case. That's all I'm saying.
Well, for me, and you kind of started to get into this area, a lot of what I want to see in franchise is presentation-based. I want it to tie in to what's happening in our league, so I know during my game, I get references to other things from the commentary team, other things happening in the league, not just my game. I want a real ticker, not the crap they gave us last year. A real ticker with scores from the league and stats
from
the league.
They had that in NCAA football, sure. And it was good.
And those,
like NCAA 13, maybe?
A lot of those developers from that team are on Madden now, so you would think maybe it would make that transition. And then things like, I think they got off track a little bit trying to come up with new things for franchise mode that maybe they had limited resources for it or whatever. And so they got into things like drive goals, which just, it did not work. And so I want to see that kind of thing squashed.
I actually always liked the pop-ups. Sorry.
The XP pop-ups?
Yeah, no, I liked it because
I didn't mind that. It's the drive goals where you know, it's late in the game and you just need to run out the clock, and it's like, complete four passes to this receiver on this drive for extra XP.
I think the idea was fundamentally sound. It's just the execution could be a little dumb at times.
Right.
So if they tightened it up, it would be fine. Though, of course, you could say that I don't like XP for progression in general, but I think they're making the best out of a bad situation. Like, I don't think they particularly like having this XP system that they've kind of inherited either.
Well, do you like
they're not going to blow it up because it's like that's a whole year's worth of work.
Do you prefer XP where you're distributed, you're earning it?
No, absolutely
you're
not.
Distributing it, or do you like in the past how it would just naturally your players would
progress? Give me the FIFA style where they automatically progress. And it can be and there can be something of an RNG, like where they either maybe live up to their potential or maybe don't.
Yeah.
But I don't mind that being out of my hands, because one thing that has stuck out to me about Madden in particular over the past couple of years is that it's not satisfying to develop rookies. The first year that we had our league, or the first year that I was in a Madden league, was in Madden 11. And this was back when they still had player potentials, and they had like A potential, B potential, C potential, whatever. And yeah, it was artificial to have that. But at the same time, it was so thrilling to be like, oh man, I got this A potential player. He's like a diamond in the rough. He's a super gem. And then watching him blossom into like a high 80s player, like an impact player. And we were coming up with nicknames like Casey, Sweet Barbecue Williams, and stuff like that. And it's like, this is great, right? That's narrative right there. And that kind of got lost because it wasn't as fun to develop rookies anymore in later Maddens, because the XP progression, one way or another, has been kind of out of whack ever since they introduced it, which is why I don't particularly like it.
And I think it feels a little artificial, because if I earn XP for my cornerback, well, what am I going to put it into?
Man coverage.
Zone coverage. You know, okay, boring. You know, I'm like seeing step by step these players progress, but you don't get the breakout players like you're talking about. You don't get those guys who surprise you. And so I think that's taking a little excitement out of it, but they're trying to get you engaged in this. And I wonder what they're...
It's just time consuming is what
it
is.
Well, that's too. I wonder how many people wonder what their data shows as far as how many people auto progress and how many people go into each player and individually assign the XP to those categories. I wonder what that is. Rich, what are your thoughts on franchise mode going into finding out what they've actually done with this year?
You know, I don't dispute any of, or not dispute, I mean, I agree with what Kat's saying. For me, what I'd love to do is set a strategic direction for my franchise and not have to worry about so many of the individual details. And again, I realize that is, to many people, the point of franchise mode is to get into the details of roster management and salary cap management and stuff. What I would love to do is sort of get in that gray zone between being the owner and being the GM and say, look, I want to have a team that's built around a big offensive line and a conservative defense, right? Or I want to be a West Coast offense kind of team. And I don't mean way deep in the weeds of where you sort of define what kind of offense you have, right? That influences how players are evaluated. I mean, at a much higher level, where you could have then the general manager of the team sort of draft and draft players and free agents like
prioritize.
That.
Prioritize, sure.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't know if that's something that is even possible or plausible. But again, as somebody who loves football and loves playing the game but doesn't, and loves being in an online league where that stuff is important. Like, if you're not scouting and if you're not investing, you know, XP in your players and or investing in confidence, you know, you're going to fall behind other people. So you've got these mechanics in the game. It'd be cool to sort of strategically be able to influence your team if you don't want to have to do all of the details.
All right. Well, I think for the most part, we're encouraged by almost everything that's come out about Madden NFL 17 so far, and this is the time of year where we should be getting the meat of gameplay-related stuff like they're rolling out right now. We're going to be seeing franchise mode stuff come up here shortly, and so and all sorts of other whatever other announcements they have, that'll be at EA Play and E3 in mid-June. So thanks again to Rich Grisham from Out of Park Developments, Kat Bailey from US Gamer, for taking the time out of their busy days to join the show. We'll be hitting on Madden much more because of everything that's anticipated coming up in the next few episodes of the Press Row podcast. So for Brian Weedye from Pasta Padre, hit the pass in sporting news. Take care till next time.